Welcome to Master the Start, a podcast for young professionals where we interview business experts on how you can master the start of your life in business.
Dajia Hao, or hello everyone. That was some Mandarin for you. Little learning right out of the gate. Welcome back to the Master the Start podcast, where we make sure we give college students and other young professionals like yourself a means of learning business and life lessons from experts. This week, it's going to be an exciting show. We got Mark Moe on today. He is the Vice President of Global Business Development at GSV Capital. Now, for any of you who do not know what GSV Capital is, they're actually known as GSV Labs, and they have an accelerator program where they focus on global innovation by launching collaborative labs around important trends in the growth economy, such as big data, ed tech, and mobility. GSV is most known for their 72,000 square foot campus at the epicenter of Silicon Valley, along with diverse programs to help innovators thrive. For the past 20 plus years, Mark has actually served the entrepreneurial community through a variety of roles, including attorney, investment banker, mentor, and advisor. Prior to GSV Labs, Mark was a managing director at Cherry Tree and a partner at Think Equity Partners, where he ran the firm's consumer investment banking practice and served as its operating committee. On top of all this, Mark has also served as a mentor for the Minnesota Cup over the past several years and as a judge for the Clean Tech Open. Basically, what Mark is he's an expert on startups, and he's judged a lot of startup ideas, and he really knows what makes a successful startup successful. So tune in, enjoy the show, and I'll talk to you after.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
Good.
So we'll just hop into like the questions that I already sent you.
Okay.
But then I have a couple of follow-up based off of what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, because I'm just curious if you could explain some of that to our audience, if that sounds good to you.
Sounds great.
All right. So to this point, what is the greatest moment in your professional career? Can you kind of take us to that moment, let us experience it with you?
Bobby, I don't know if I'd ever really kind of say I had a greatest moment. What I enjoy doing is, you know, in my business careers, I've enjoyed just helping others. And so every time, you know, I help somebody achieve one of their goals, that's a great feeling for me. And so when I was an investment banker, I was getting deals done, helping people raise capital, getting transactions finished off, you know, those were the things that were, you know, fun. And every time you do that, it was a great feeling, right? I've been a mentor for the last several years for a lot of different organizations. One of the organizations I'm a mentor with is the Minnesota Cup, and kind of a recognition of my efforts around that was a couple of years ago when they named me as the mentor of the year. And so that was a great feeling, obviously. And maybe that's, I don't know if I call it the high point, but again, it's a great to get acknowledged for your efforts around something. So
for sure. I can definitely understand that. Then can you explain a moment in your professional career where you were closest to giving up, or just one of those hard moments that you wondered why you were doing it on a daily basis, and how did you bounce back from that?
That's everyday occurrence. Yeah. I mean, there's one clear low point in my career, which was, you know, we had started a company and sold it. And that's not the low point. The low point came about a year and a half later when I got let go from that same company. The markets had gone into a tailspin. We were a smaller office, and they started to shut us down. And, you know, they just, again, kind of right out of left field, decided that they no longer needed my services. So that didn't feel very good. You know, clearly that's my biggest low point, but never really the feeling of giving up. Just, it kind of put me on my heels for a little while.
So how did you bounce back from that?
Well, it took me a while. You know, I had to kind of feel sorry for myself for a while, right? With my wounds. I think, you know, one thing I've learned from that is, you know, it doesn't do you any good to kind of sit around and feel sorry for yourself. You got to kind of get back in the game as quickly as possible. You know, for me, it was trying a couple different businesses, you know, which I thought were really fun to get launched. You know, one didn't have many legs, but the second one we tried has been going pretty well. And that's the current one I'm involved with, which is out in California.
So for our audience, could you explain that second business a little more?
So the name of the business is GSV Labs, and we're, you know, for lack of better terminology, kind of an innovation center. We work with three core groups. We work with startups and innovators to kind of connect them to resources they need to take the friction out of growing their businesses. We tend to focus in certain areas of domain expertise. And so, you know, we do a lot of stuff around education technology. We're also doing some stuff around fintech and looking at opening a center. I can't tell you where, but there's a lot of AI and robotics going on there. And so we're trying to develop some domain expertise around that as well. We also work with international organizations that are looking to get connected to Silicon Valley for their entrepreneurial community. So we run a bunch of boot camps and other workshops and programming around that. And then the third group we work with is corporations or the enterprise that are looking to get connected to that innovation engine of Silicon Valley. And so we work with them on projects or kind of initiatives that they have.
Well, then this is probably a good time for me to ask some of my questions that I didn't prepare you for. So since you've already spent 20 plus years in the field, you mentor for the Minnesota Cup. And for those that don't know what that is, it's the largest statewide startup competition. You've also, I believe you've been a judge for the Fowler Business Competition once or twice. Is that correct?
I've judged for the Fowler. I've been a mentor. I've judged for WeMina, which is a women's entrepreneurial competition out of North Africa and the Middle East. I've been involved with a challenge run through Verizon on the judging side. I've been a judge for the Cleantech Open. I've been a mentor for the Cleantech Open. And then there's a bunch of other smaller organizations that I've helped out with as well.
So you're an expert in judging startups in a sense, you know, and what makes a good startup in your eyes?
Well, part of being a good startup is becoming a better middle-sized company, right? So you don't want to be a startup forever. It's how do you scale your business? And I think the really good startups understand why they're doing what they do. You know, I call it the why. Why do you exist? Why should anybody care that you're doing this really cool project, right? And if a company is really able to articulate kind of the pain point they see in the marketplace and the solution they have to address that pain point, then, you know, I know they're onto something. If they can't really articulate the pain point, and then I know we're just kind of in a project. And, you know, the great entrepreneurs are really good at seeing problems out in the marketplace that they can provide solutions to.
That's very cool. Now, I'm going to jump back into the original questions, then I'll hop back and forth just because I can't help myself. So if you had one do-over back in your 20s, what would that be? And what would you do slightly differently to, I don't know, have the outcome that you really wanted?
You know, I followed a path that I wanted to follow. And so it wasn't necessarily a do-over. I think one of the things I probably would have not been so rash about was kind of getting out of the law practice. I probably needed another year or two of learning within that to make it really applicable, you know, my later career. You know, as I was, law school was great training, and my few years of practicing law really helped. But frankly, a couple more years of being exposed to that side of the business world, I think would have just given me a better perspective on things.
Why did you leave earlier than, I guess, looking back, you wish you did?
Well, it's going to sound a little bit like a contradiction. I did not like practicing law. It's just something I didn't enjoy. But sometimes you got to kind of muddle through and find the value in what you're doing rather than just look to try to do something else. And so that was probably one of the instances where I was younger and less patient and should have just, you know, had a little more maturity around following through on the learning experience rather than just looking to move on to something new.
Okay. Now, I'm assuming I already know your answer to this fourth question, and it's, if you died tomorrow, do you have any regrets or anything you wish you would have done or gotten to?
So I think my biggest regret at this point is not having been to Africa. And the context I want to put that in is just, I think, the need and the opportunity that's present there. And so I've had Africa on my heart for a long time. I haven't been able to follow through on getting there and to getting involved and creating relationships there. And so that, you know, I guess that's a regret.
Okay. Well, then do you have maybe one life hack that our audience could apply to their life this week to become a little more successful or a little happier in their lives?
I don't know about happiness, Bobby, but, you know, I think the thing that's always been effective for me is mapping, right? Mapping out kind of how you want to spend your day. It's when I'm at my least efficient is when I wake up without a plan in place. You know, I might have a meeting to go to or you know, something I've got on my agenda to get done. But I'm really much more efficient and much more effective when I map out the day ahead of me. And the best way for me to do that is the night before, to literally set out what it is I want to get accomplished that next day and prioritize it and make sure that the things that have the biggest impact or what I'm trying to do are at the top of that list. So it's not original, but it's how I create efficiency in my day. It forces you to think strategically about how you're going to attack that next day, because so often we get, you know, up in the morning and we just start kind of muddling through, you know, kind of going through your emails or something catches your attention somewhere and that kind of drags you into a, you know, a rabbit hole. And before you know it, you're at the middle of the day, right? And so for me, you know, if I have that plan in place, I know what I'm doing at the moment I wake up through at least, you know, the first 3-4 hours of the day. You don't have to plan out the exact whole day, but I think getting your day off to the right start is a great way to create efficiency and effectiveness.
Okay, cool. I like that. Now I'm going to bring up two things that you said to me a couple weeks ago that I thought were super interesting. I'd really like our audience to hear what you have to say about it. So when we talked last, you basically just told me straight up to pursue my mission. And I think that's a very easy thing to say. I think a lot of people hear it on a daily basis. But what exactly do you mean when you tell someone to pursue their mission?
So often, particularly when we're working for somebody else, you know, it's kind of dictated to us what our day looks like, right? What your role is, what your objectives are. And, you know, I think in the context of me saying that to you, it had more to do kind of with this entrepreneurial spirit, right? And pursuing your mission to me is, you know, why are you doing what you do? And everything should, you know, have that as its kind of cornerstone. You know, if that's your foundation for what you're doing, right, in my estimation, you're going to be doing things that you have passion about, and you're going to be much more successful in those endeavors versus, you know, we all know guys that say, I'm just going to go out and make a lot of money, right? And they don't have purpose behind it. They don't have kind of a why other than trying to make money. Well, it's hard to keep that passion up to do something that has kind of a less purposeful objective. But when you're pursuing your mission, it just feels like things are more aligned with energy and interest and passion. To me, those are the ingredients it takes to ultimately have true success. And so that's kind of my meaning behind that, Bobby.
Okay, that's cool. And then you said one more thing that really stuck with me. You said don't let greed get in the way of what you want to accomplish.
It kind of goes back to that mission statement, right? So if what you are trying to do is, again, just make money or create something to, you know, sell your business right away. Like I sit down with entrepreneurs all the time and they always tell me, well, here's my exit plan before they even have a business up and going, right? And my response to that is always, well, if you're already thinking about the end game without having a beginning to the game mapped out, your end game is going to be really disappointing. And what you're thinking about is the greed on the backside. Hey, I'm going to build this business and sell it to so-and-so for X amount of money. But the only way that great businesses are built is by focusing on building great businesses. The outcome will take care of itself, right? And so it goes back to, if you've got a mission around what you're doing, a purpose behind what you're doing, and you're pursuing that, and you're building the best possible version of that business that you can, the outcome will be what the outcome will be. Versus a perspective of saying, all right, I'm going to build this product to, you know, sell this company to XYZ. If you've always got that kind of outcome in mind, the likelihood of you doing all the things you need to do to build a great business kind of diminishes, and you ultimately compromise what that outcome is going to be anyway. So long answer to a very quick question, but that's how I think about it.
That's really, really cool. And I want to make sure I respect your time, but I can't help but ask one more thing. For startups or anyone interested in going into that entrepreneurial field, you have any tips on like where they should really, what should they focus on when they're starting a company?
Well, there's different stages to that answer, right? So at the very kind of infancy of any startup, right, it has to be really being intellectually honest with yourself about, am I creating something that's going to solve a pain point in the marketplace, right? The second piece is to know who cares, right? Who cares about that pain point? And it should kind of answer itself. If you've identified this pain point, you've identified who it really matters to. So can they pay for it, right? Solving a pain point for somebody that can't pay for it is noble, but it's not going to make you a lot of money. So you're probably not going to stay in business very long and be able to scale that business. So you got to figure out who pays for it, right? But the other big piece of growing a great business is making sure you surround yourself with great people. And I think it takes kind of a leader that has a certain kind of humility to be able to say, I want to hire better people than myself. Everybody says they want to do that, but real leaders understand that, you know, that's not a threat to hire somebody better than yourself. It's only going to make your team stronger. And so leaders that can actually deliver on that have a better chance of creating something that is big and strong and long lasting.
All right. That's awesome. I want to make sure I let you get back to your day, and I really appreciate it.
Bobby, it's been a pleasure. And thanks for the opportunity, and have a great rest of your day.
Of course. We'll talk soon.
Thanks.
All right. Bye. What's up, everyone? Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Master the Start with Mark Moe. It was an absolute honor having him on the show this week. A couple of quick reminders before we let you go. Number one, as Mark learned the hard way, it does no good to sit around and feel sorry for yourself after something bad happens in your life. You have to get back in the game as soon as possible, and don't just sit around and lick your wounds. Number two, find and live out your mission or your purpose. The mission should be at the foundation of everything in your life. You need to make sure your mission becomes your focal point as you live. Thirdly, this week, every night, map out your tomorrow. Write down what you need to accomplish and prioritize that. Then, on the next day, make sure you follow through with what you mapped out. That's just like what Tim Kopel said. It's super important. Make sure you map out your day, take the time. As you can see, it's a common trend. Lastly, before you head out and do all these things this week, check us out at gomahi.com/podcast. You can really vote on the questions that you want us to ask our next guests. And make sure you take a look at us and like us on iTunes. Give us a review on iTunes. Look at us on Google Play, etc., Spotify, everything else. All right, that's this week's episode. We hope you liked it as much as we did. We'll see you next week.